نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا. صدق الله العظيم. Continuing with our topic about the mujahada nafsi, that is, those struggle and striving that a person must do in his heart, which results after a person has made mujahada jismani, that is, to make sacrifice, to struggle against one's ego physically, and these are where one person must control his food, what he is intaking, his sleeping, mixing with people, and we say that talking less. We say when a person does this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens his heart and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the quality of taqwa in him. And last week we did talk about the quality of taqwa, and I'm repeating myself, whatever I'm saying is primarily for myself. I'm not talking for anybody else, to improve myself. And what we are doing is just to give you a bird's eye view. The duty and onus is on you to go and read further on those topics. At times I introduce certain difficult topics, concepts, but I expect you to read, and we're just touching the surface of it. Today I'm going to extend on the concept of the fear of Allah. I did mention last week that besides taqwa, there is another quality which the awliya have explained in the latter Quran, the quality of khawf. We discussed last week that taqwa is derived from the word to abstain from things that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we give the examples of people like Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmallah, Bayazid Bustami, rahmallah, what was the level of abstention in the action after the training, the spiritual training they had. Today we're going to discuss on the concept of khawf. Khawf is usually associated with Allah. Many people have translated khawf to mean to fear. Khawf is a condition, is a painful condition that manifests itself on the heart of a mu'min, of a salik, of a Musliman. And this pain, this condition, this painful condition is a result of something that he thinks will happen in the future. It's not present, something that will happen in the future. And this means either the azab of Allah, or he can lose something in the future, like the rahmat of Allah. This is the meaning of khawf. This khawf, this quality that a Muslim must develop in him, this fear that must dominate over him, Sharia has made it first. And the Quran has said, I mentioned it to you, those who separate their body from their resting place and calling Allah out of fear and hope. Fear and hope are the two wings of Iman. This is what Iman, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in the hadith, that hope lies between fear and hope. That Iman is between fear and hope. Fear, this khawf, the ulama explained, is like the lamp of the heart. It shows the light to the heart, what is the good side of the heart, and at the same time this light illuminates to you the evil of the heart. And the ulama explained that khawf is such a quality, it's like a king that resides in the heart of the pious ones only. Like the king commands, everybody becomes subservient to the king. In the same way, when a person has khawf in his heart, he will become subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this khawf, depending on our level of iman, it becomes so advanced that you will find in history people like Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi, who was a contemporary of Imam Abu Hanifa, He was known as the Imam al-Sunnah. He was among those who were mustajab al-dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to accept his dua instantaneously. One day he fell sick. The doctor was called up to attend him. And then the person told the doctor that this man is so afraid of Allah that his liver has been eaten up. When the doctor took his pulse, the doctor said, for the first time, I never knew that in the Muslim there is this type of person. This is a level of khawf that Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi had in him, that this quality has overpowered him, that he was always in the fear, what will happen to Makhirat? What will happen to Makhirat? It is reported of Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, who was a great wali of Allah, a great alim as well. He passed away and a person dreamt about him. And he told that person, when this person asked him, what mu'amala Allah has made with you, he said, all my actions has been thrown away just like you got dried leaves. The wind blows it away. All have been thrown away. Only 2 rakat tahajjud I read once. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided on those 2 rakat. This is a fear that dominates. This is a lamp that guides the Muslim. This permanent fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart. Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu anh, who was a Jadidul Qadr Sahabi, he said that fear, the quality of khawf, cannot leave the heart of a mu'min. The heart of a mu'min cannot find peace, and the fear in the heart cannot be calmed until you have traversed the Pul Sirat. Until we haven't crossed the Pul Sirat, we cannot forget the concept of fear. Fear, it pierces the veil of death as well. Ulama explained, the quality of khawf is not only in this world. The quality of khawf will prevail in the qabr as well. The quality of khawf will prevail in the Maidan al-Hashr as well. This is a quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to develop in us. Without the quality of khawf, then we are empty. A person who hasn't developed the quality of khawf in him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put 70 veils between him. The least veil that he will have in him is the curse of doubt. He will live in doubt. A person who got doubt cannot have change, can never have peace in his heart. The least veil, the lowest type of veil that will have between him and Allah, Allah will put doubt in his heart. If a person hasn't have khawf in him. So, the quality of khawf, the quality of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very, very great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the Quran mentioned that, fear me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَدْعُونَ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا, that those bandha who wakes up in the night out of fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's coupled with the hope also. We're going to talk next week inshallah on the quality of hope. Hope also is a quality that the heart must develop inside. Ulama explain that there are 3 stages of khawf. There are 3 stages of khawf. The first quality got to do with our iman. The quality of fearing Allah is something ingrained in the iman. You cannot take it away from a Muslim. You don't even understand it. You cannot even understand khawf. It's a quality that manifests in itself. Like I gave the example of Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah, where he was so much afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his liver was eaten up. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the quality of khawf was so prevalent in him that when he used to read his tahajjud salah, his heart was trembling like a water boiling in a kettle. This is a quality, the tariq, the how it manifests on the wali of Allah. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah once asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, develop the quality of khawf in him. Then, when this quality started developing Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he said, I was on the verge, I was afraid of losing my sanity. I was afraid of losing my sanity when the quality of fear was manifesting in me, was developing in me. When I started understanding who is Allah, the fear that Allah commands, I was afraid I'm losing my sanity. Then I turned to Allah, and said, Allah, give me this amount of khawf that I can endure, I can take, and don't let me overtake me. This is the quality of khawf that we are supposed to have, that Allah has expressed in the Quran. What is the extent of khawf that a Muslim must have? Ulama explained, to that extent of khawf that at least we are conscious that our actions will lead us to the azab of Allah. The minimum, the bare minimum of khawf of Allah, which is first for us to have, is we must fear to such an extent that if we check a woman, this is the azab. If we forget our Quran Sharif, this is the azab. If we make commit zina, this is the azab. If we drink alcohol, we take drugs, this is the azab. If we make ghibat, this is the azab. Whatever we make in the hadith, all those actions that we make, Allah Rasulullah have seen the azab in Jahannam. And he has reported it in the hadith. So this is the minimum which is farz for us to have such khawf that when we do this action, this khawf will stop us from doing it. It's a great quality that a Muslim must develop, the quality of khawf. It is a praiseworthy quality as well. Ulama explained that this quality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it in the heart of the pious person. At times we come and read salah, but there is no effect in our salah. This is why the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ponder upon those words, where the Rasulullah says, on the day of Qiyamah, all the eyes will cry. All eyes will cry, except three eyes won't cry. The first one is that eye that controls itself. Whatever Allah has made haram, He has controlled it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not make this eye cry. Today with internet, all those pornographic sites, what our youth is doing. We know very well what is happening. We can read our Isha Salah, but then when we are on internet, the parents don't control what is happening. Those websites are freely available. And we think our children are doing Tahajjud Salah. Meanwhile, they are sitting on websites. The parents must control what the children are doing on websites. Very, very dangerous, those websites. Control that. Number two, those eyes that have guarded in the path of Allah. Those eyes that have looked after the property of the Muslims. I realized the value of this hadith whilst I was in Jamaat. At times in Jamaat at night, they will appoint people to look after the cars. Or when other people are sleeping, to look around the markers. Then I spent one night in at night. Allah Pak chose me that night to look after the cars. I know how tough it is. It is tough the whole night, no soul on the street, and you alone here sitting in the car looking after the other cars. Then you value those Sahaba who was guarding the boundaries of the Islamic State. The Murabit, Murabitun, Rabat, it comes in Hadith. So those person who look after the izzat of the Muslim, the property of the Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after the eyes on the day of Qiyamah. The third category, those person who will drop a one tear only, will come out, which is the size of the head of a fly, out of fear of Allah, only one drop, this eye will not cry on the day of Qiyamah. Value this fear that comes out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This fear, if you remember, in the beginning I quoted one riwayat where there was a person, he committed many, many sins. And then what happened, at the time of death, he asked his children, when I die, take my body, cremate it, burn it, make it into ashes, and spread the ashes all over. They honored his words. And then, when he died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered all those ashes, bringing back to life, and told him, why you did that? He said, Allah, khashyatik. Oh Allah, because of your fear I did that, I don't know what face I'm going to show you. Out of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Out of fear, this quality of khawf is so great in the sight of Allah. Allah is so merciful at the same time. The rahmat of Allah is more than his ghazab. The rahmat of Allah on his arsh, it's written that my rahmat is more than my ghazab. My mercy, the quality of my mercy is overshadows my anger. But we must have both. The quality of khawf is very important. The quality of khawf is, there are two advantages when a person develops khawf. The fear, the quality of fear. When a person develops it, there are two advantages there. Follow my explain. First, it prevents a person from voluntary disobedience of Allah. You're conscious you're disobeying Allah. When you know this azab, when looking at a woman, this is the azab. When we're going to commit zina, this is the azab. When we're going to lie, this is the azab. It protects you against that. The second advantage of developing the quality of khawf, the fear of Allah, is that when a person is afraid, if he made a mistake in the past, he make a guna in the past, he tends to forget it. And he will repeat it again. But if a person has the quality of khawf, the quality of fear of Allah, then this quality will prevent him from forgetting his sin. These are two advantages of developing the quality of khawf. How do we develop the quality of khawf? The quality of khawf, we develop it by pondering on the Zat of Allah, by making muraqabah of the Maidan-e-Hashr, that we're going to address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every action that we have done, we're going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Slowly, slowly, this quality will germinate in our heart. It's like a nur. And how you know the quality of khawf is being developing in you? Ulama explained that a person will make out the quality of khawf is developing in him when his love for dunya diminishes. When his demand for the world diminishes in his heart, this is a sign that the quality of khawf is developing in a person. Ulama explained there are three stages of khawf. The first one I mentioned to you got to do with the iman. وَيَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. This, that is, you fear me. Allah SWT says in the Quran, fear me if really you are mu'min, you have iman. Then there is another level. This got to do with your iman. It's well entrenched in the heart. The second one is khashiyah. Khashiyah means to do with your outer knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى. Verily, those who have the fear of Allah, here the word khashiyah is being used, those who fear Allah are the ulama. It's a knowledge that you have acquired through the Quran and Hadith, and you develop this khashiyah. This khashiyah must be differentiated with another quality that the Sufyan al-Kiram called the ruhbah. Ruhbah means to flee away. A person see a tiger, a lion, a snake, he will take flight. He seek refuge in flight. He run away. Why? Because he wants to satisfy his desire. He doesn't want to be caught. Whereas khashiyah is such a quality, you take refuge in Allah. You don't run away from Allah. That's the difference. This is why in Sharia, we make the difference with rahbaniyah. Rasulullah sallallahu says in the hadith, there is no rahbaniyah in Sharia. There is no mokhud. There is no priesthood in Islam. Why? Because they will retrieve themselves from society. Running away from society because they want to become pious, they can't cope with society. So to satisfy the spiritual desire, they run away. Whereas Rasulullah SAW says, this is not Islam. You got to kill your nafs and live in society. Allah sent you to live in society. The word insan is derived from the word uns. Uns means to socialize. How can you call yourself an insan if you can't socialize yourself? So we got to differentiate between rahbaniyat, to run away from our responsibility, our duties. This is known as ruhba, which is terror. We are so afraid of Sharia. We are so afraid, we are so afraid of society that we are not be able to fulfill our desire. We run away and we live in a monastery or in a mountain. This is not Sharia. Sharia says khashiyah. Khashiyah is when you are afraid according to knowledge. You control your fright. Oh Allah, we know your grandeur. Oh Allah, we know your magnanimity. Oh Allah, we know your qudrat. Oh Allah, we know all your zat. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek refuge from you. We know you are the only one who can save us from this terror of the Jahannam. This is khashiyah. Khashiyah is you seek refuge in Allah. Ruhba is terror. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking us to be terrorized by His Zat. This is not the maqsad of Sharia. The minimum is azab, we save ourselves from azab. We just be conscious that it's an azab. The third level is haybah. This got to do with the inner Zat, inner self, inner knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has mentioned this in the Quran, that be careful of Allah, be warned about Allah. This is a quality which has got to do with your heart inside, not with your outside knowledge, your outer knowledge, but with your inner knowledge. So there are three levels of fearing Allah. One is khawf, one is khashiyah, and one is haybah. The highest one is khawf, because this got to do with our iman. And this is the demand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, The way Allah says in the Quran, fear me. Allah has praised the quality of those people who fear Him. And Allah has given the secret also, how to develop to fear Him also. For this reason, you will find that this quality of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by just reading book, we are not going to have it. We have to sit in the company of the Ahlullah. We have to realize with Allah. Reading books is not enough. Like one great Sufi, Al-Mansur, he says, pious places, don't be deceived with pious places. Don't be deceived with pious places. Look what Adam alayhi salatu wasalam met in Jannah. Even a place like Jannah, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was caught. He said, don't be deceived with your acts of worship. Look what has happened to Iblis. It is said there is no place on earth Iblis haven't done sijda. Look what has happened to him. He think he knew too much. He said, don't be deceived with your companionship. Look what has happened to Abu Jahl. He met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet he was not guided. So the quality that a Muslim must have is not that he must content himself on the asbab. He must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear of Allah must be in the heart. This quality must be developed so that this istihzar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be in front of him. Those azab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it for a purpose. Allah has not created azab to punish us. Allah created azab as a sabab, as a means for us to develop the quality of khawf. For us to develop the quality of fear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it. The quality of fear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it for us to see every day in the sky. Once they asked Hazrat Shibli, rahmatullah alayhi, who was a great wali of Allah, they asked him, why the sun turns pale before sunset? It's a deep sign Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in the heavens for us every day to see. He said, because the sun has been cut off from its place of perfection, and then now it's going to go and stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From a scientific point of view, it's difficult to understand that. From an astronomical point of view, it's difficult to understand that, because sunset and sunrise got to do with the rotation of the earth around the sun. But if in Mishkat Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the sun doesn't rise until it doesn't go under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the sun will rise again. Who we believe? Science or Rasulullah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day is giving us an example from the sun. The sun becomes pale. It loses all its glitter. Just like a mu'min, at the time of death, this is how the mu'min will go through. This is how we go through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned 5 times of farishta. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ قَرْقَوْمْ وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْتَوْمْ وَالصَّابِحَاتِ صَبْحَةِ. Mufassirin explained, this is a category of farishta who will swim in our body. They will swim in our body. In each pore where there is a ruh, they will extract the ruh. And the ruh, ulama explained, when the ruh goes out, is like a silk. You take a branch of thorn, you put, you enroll the silk there, and then you pull it. This is how the ruh comes out. It comes out through the nose. And the gargarai starts. Science hasn't been able to know what is death. Before I came, I met one great lecturer in Pretoria University, a very pious Christian in his own way. He called me to give a lecture. He's a professor and very pious Christian on top of that. What is death? Because he wants to organize a conference, what is death? Because for organ transplant. Because there are 2 types of death. One is what you call the somatic death, and one is called the cellular death. The somatic death, you just die. At that time, your body is still hot. If you transfer the organ, you can use it. Cellular death, when the cell starts becoming loose, and then you start blowing up, and then you die. Then the organ is not so good. So for a medical purpose, he wanted to know what is death. Because if the ruh hasn't come out, you can be a criminal. Because the science tells you when your brain waves stops, you are dead. Sharia-wise, this is not the case. So he was doing on that. So he asked me to deliver a lecture on death. I told him death, I gave you the Islamic perspective, the science of death. I said, it's easy to know when a person is going to die. His nose will start staring. His earlobe will start staring. Then the death starts from the toes. The roof starts leaving the toes and it goes up, 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 and then from the gharghara, and then from the mouth it goes. Then slowly, slowly, the eyes look at it. This is why you close the eyes. The roof leaves your astral body. It leaves your physical body. This is very, very painful. That's very, very painful. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the example of the sun. Look at the glowing of the sun at midday. And then just at sunset, when the sun is going to set and go by the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes dim, pale. There's no life in it. This is the life of a Muslim. At the time of death, it's very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. This is why the hadith of Rasulullah says that إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Your action will be judged according to your last breath. Your last breath will determine your action. So the fear of the sun is an inspiration for us. Every day Allah is giving us an inspiration. Ay mu'min, you're going to die. This is how your face is going to be when your eye, when the unseen will be unveiled for you, when Malik al-Maut will be accompanied by his flock of farishtas to take your death, to take your soul. And that time, think what Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala says, that the quality of hope does not leave the heart of a Muslim until he hasn't crossed Pursirat. The next stage will be our qabr. From the qabr, we're going to wake up and we're going to be resurrected in the Maidan al-Hashr. There also we're going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The quality of hope, that's another quality that will manifest on Maidan al-Hashr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on that day, only the waliullah in the awliya. Allah mentioned, verily only the la khawfun alayhim wa la yahzanun. Those people won't have khawf, fear, and huzn, sadness. Two qualities that will prevail on us on the day of Qiyamah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, that is the quality of fear and the quality of sadness. The wali of Allah will not have those qualities in them on the day of Qiyamah. The quality of khawf and the quality of huzn, sadness. So if a person develops it in this world, looking at the sun, how it becomes pale, and the following morning it's shining with all its brightness, with its glitter. Just look at the sun when it sets, the rays are less. But in the morning, even before it comes up, you get the false dawn, then you get the true dawn, and then just before it comes up on the horizon, how beautiful it is, subhanallah. How it changes the various colors in the sky. The same thing is a mu'min. When a mu'min dies, when the mu'min dies, when he's going to be resurrected, his face will shine. Rasulullah ﷺ told his ummah on the day of Qiyamah, you will see me in this place. You don't see me by the scale. Look for me by Hawza Kawthar. You don't see me there. A long discussion where to see Rasulullah. Rasulullah says, how are you going to recognize me, Ya Rasulullah? He says, wherever you are make wudu, it will shine like the full moon. It will shine like the full moon. This is the importance of wudu in this world. This is the importance of wudu in the akhirat as well. That the face of the mu'min, those faces will shine, Rasulullah will. This is a metaphorical way of representing that Shibli, Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, has explained that the sun when it sets, it gives us an idea what fear goes in the sun. The temperature in the sun is about 6 million degrees Celsius. It loses all the things when it goes to go under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I'm explaining you is not in the light of science, brothers. Science will be completely against what I say. But I'm going to tell you science is not the final way. Silence, there's a book written on that, how science tells you something today, tomorrow they tell you something else. So science is not the final thing. What Rasulullah said, you take Dalton theory, atomic theory, those who did chemistry will know. The smallest indivisible particles, what is it? Atoms. Then you get Planck's game, Planck theory, you know, you got neutron in it, you got electron in it, you got proton in it. Now they have developed proton smaller now. So in those days, it was the big theory. Now it no more exists. It has been broken. You take Einstein's theory of relativity. In India, they have discovered this theory. Theory of E is equal to mc squared. Energy release is equal to mass times velocity of light to the square. That is, the faster you go, you become less weight. And Einstein is saying that. We don't know. Rasulullah didn't experience that. If you look at science, they tell you from here to go to Jupiter, how many light years you got to use. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leaving here, past Jupiter, past everything, went to the house on seven heavens and came back in one night. He never lose any light because he was on the Burak. So what they say is something else, what science is saying something else, Allah is saying something else. We are Muslim, we must listen to what Rasulullah is saying. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, science is good to a certain extent, but it's not the final word. We cannot base our iman on science. We cannot base our iman on science. We can benefit from science, it's not haram. We benefit from it, but don't base our iman on science. Then we're going to lose this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very great, great, great attribute of a mu'min that we must try to develop in us, so that every time we do our action, every step in our life, that will be an enhancement, a spiritual enhancement for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking for terror. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking for terror. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us is simple, that every action that we do, have this fear in our heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah can punish us according to the punishment He has prescribed for that action. That is what khawf is all about. And if we can develop this quality, inshallah al-aziz, we're going to control our tongue, we're going to control our heart, we're going to go into control our ears, we're going to control our eyes, we're going to control our private parts, we're going to control our hands, we're going to go our thought, even our thought we're going to control. There are 5 stages in our thought. Inshallah one day we're going to talk on that. I'm going to stop here inshallah today. SubhanAllah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.